Did you ever have anything come outward that was supposed to remain inward? And that's probably an awkward question. Let me explain. Let me explain by a story. When I was little, probably around 12 years old, my parents and I went together to buy my sister a Christmas present. And it was one of those big gifts, you know, one of those things she really was anticipating. And so I went with my parents to go buy her this big musical keyboard that my sister had been asking for a long time. And, you know, pretty expensive gift. And one of these things, you know, Christy probably thought she was never going to get just because of the expense of it and the size of it. But I was able to go with my parents and help them pick this thing out. And we were really excited. But I was really supposed to keep this secret because they really wanted Christy to be surprised on Christmas morning. But as a little kid, you know, as a 12-year-old kid, that's just really hard to keep inward. I probably kept it inward for close to a week and a half, maybe not even quite that long. But it got to be about 2 days before Christmas, and, you know, we're talking about gifts and Christmas and how excited we are, me and my sister, and I just, like, couldn't contain it anymore. I just had to, like, I didn't flat out tell her, like, hey, guess what? Mom and Dad got you a keyboard. But I started hinting around the idea that I know she got something really amazing. And then I started giving her more hints and more hints. And before I knew it, it was just outward. She knew that in 2 days, she was going to get this great musical keyboard that my mom and dad had sacrificed for. And I kind of let everybody down. Now, Christy didn't tell everyone right away that she knew. In fact, she waited till Christmas morning, but the cat was out of the bag because my sister is also pretty bad at keeping secrets. So that was one of those things that was supposed to remain inward. It was supposed to remain a secret. And unfortunately, my loose tongue, it came outward before it was supposed to. So that's an illustration of something that was supposed to remain inward and came outward. And I don't usually do this, but I'm podcasting with my wife tonight. And so, say hi, Janine.
Hi.
Janine has a story also about something that was supposed to remain inward that came outward. So why don't you tell your story?
Okay, so as a four-year-old little girl, you're excited about certain things like Disney princesses, for instance. And I really liked The Little Mermaid for a while there. And for some reason, I don't remember why, my mom and I were at the church. My dad may have been there too. I don't remember. I was four. But we were in the church office, and one of the deacons was there. And I was just so excited about something new that I had, and I was actually wearing it at the time. And so I decided to tell this older man, that I was in fact wearing Little Mermaid underwear that day and was very proud of that fact. And he was not quite sure what to do with that, but my mom was happy that I told him that for sure.
Obviously a story that should have remained inward. I mean, this is called underwear. It's supposed to remain underneath something. And yes, you're a little kid, but you were excited to tell someone you had Little Mermaid underwear. So you told it to a deacon at your church.
Yes.
I just think that's a great story. Of something that was supposed to remain inward. Underwear is for underneath something, not to be shown
told.
But
if you had Little Mermaid underwear, you might.
I never did, so I was never that excited. Anyways, there's this passage in 1 Peter 3 that talks about this very thing, obviously in a more profound level. It's talking about something that's supposed to remain inward, but oftentimes comes outward. And if you have your Bibles, it's in 1 Peter 3, and the verses we're going to look at are verses 3 and 4. And we'll talk a little bit about the context too, but this is what it says in 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." If you could tell right there in the verse 3, excuse me, it says, "Do not let your adorning be external." So immediately you find out that something is supposed to remain inward. And the temptation, the danger there is for that to become external. And the word that he uses there is adorning. And I wonder if that's a word people would use today. What would the word adorning mean? Just beauty?
It means to... I mean, to adorn is to make beautiful, to add on.
Okay.
Beauty.
So it's really, honestly, it could just be beauty. I mean, do not let your beauty be external. I mean, you might even say primarily external. But it says, let the braiding of, or excuse me, and he gives examples here. He says, the braiding of your hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. And this passage is given to women as the main audience here. So I do not have experience with the braiding of hair. I mean, I wish. I wanted to. But no, I don't have experience with that. Or no, I mean, I don't have a struggle with trying to adorn myself with gold jewelry. But I'm sure women know the struggle, and you know the struggle, Janine, to want your beauty to be outward beauty. And of course, it was a struggle back in biblical times. It's a struggle now. This is what we were fed from the media and from the world around us, is that beauty is an external thing. And yet God, through Peter here, is telling us it's actually the opposite. Beauty is supposed to be an internal thing. Because he says in verse 4, let your adorning, your beauty, be the hidden person of the heart, with an imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. So again, there's something that's supposed to remain inward primarily that oftentimes finds its way on the outward. And that's really beauty. Beauty has been fed to us that most beauty is an outward thing. It is the braiding of your hair. It is the gold jewelry. It is the clothing you wear. It is the makeup you have on. That's really what makes someone beautiful. And yet Peter says it's not. It's not what makes a woman beautiful. Not primarily. Not most profoundly. What makes a woman most beautiful is her gentle and quiet spirit. And the context is interesting. In verse 1 it says, because it's talking to wives specifically, it says, likewise wives, be subject to your own husbands. And then if you scroll down a little bit, verse 5, it says, for this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. So if the context is primarily husbands, and whether you're married or not, this is still a valuable lesson, is the inward beauty for a wife is submission to her husband, which most often happens with nobody else seen. It happens at home. It happens in the peace and quiet, or not so much with our family, of the home. And it doesn't happen most often in public. What is he not saying? I think you said this well when he said, you know, when he's talking about don't let your adorning be external. What is he not saying? Because that could be kind of confusing. Like that can turn into a very legalistic thing. What do you think he's not saying there?
He's not saying don't wear these specific things. Don't wear gold jewelry. Don't braid your hair. Mm-hmm. That's kind of missing the point. But I think this is a very key passage, a big trouble spot, I guess, for all women and girls in this age. I think younger and younger, it's starting to become an issue. Mm. And the world also sees that. They say, no, beauty isn't just this one way, this size 2, 5'10 model look. It's more than that. And so they say, everyone is beautiful. You with this look is beautiful. You with this look is beautiful. But they're still just caught on the aesthetic.
The external.
But this passage points out that it's more than just that. It is what's on the inside. It's how you live that should stand out. That's what should be beautiful about you.
Yeah, well said. And this isn't the only passage that talks about something like this. In fact, it's not only spoken to women. When Jesus spoke in the Gospels, he often warned us about practicing even righteousness before people. Because even a religion can turn it mostly into an external thing, which primarily it's supposed to be an internal thing. It's supposed to be for an audience of one, for God. And oftentimes we find it challenging and a temptation to practice our righteousness on the external for people to see. And I'm not saying it's wrong, you know, obviously love people and, you know, be righteous all the time, but it's more of a temptation to let that be an external show than an inward reality. And it seems like, again, the world has this backwards because they're so worried about the external beauty that the inward beauty is decaying. And again, it's just so backwards because the external beauty is actually the one that is perishable. And if you work on the inward beauty, he says it's imperishable. He says it right there in the passage. Imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. It doesn't perish. It doesn't fade. You know, beauty, no matter how beautiful someone is on the outward, eventually, you know, even with the wrinkle cream and everything you want to try, it's eventually going to fade. It's eventually going to go downhill. But not inward beauty. Inward beauty actually increases, you know, over time as you work on it, as you become more like Christ. And so I think there's a lot of application for women. I think there's a lot of application for wives. I think there's a lot of application here for just the general Christian, is that we need to be very concerned about our inward beauty and not our external beauty. And that's, I know that's a challenge. That's a really hard thing to live by in the day and age that we are in, because we are told, and, you know, the Instagram and Facebook, it's, you know, people want to be seen. People want to be recognized. People want to be, have a like, and think that, you know, people think they're beautiful. And it's not necessarily wrong to display beauty on the outward. But it is if that's what we're worried about. It is if that's what we're concerned about. It is if that is our primary beauty. Because that's really a waste. And it's not going to last. And it's a shame. And yet God wants us to be more concerned with pleasing him than with pleasing others or pleasing ourselves even. And I think that's kind of what Peter's getting at here, is that we should be very concerned about inward beauty, our inward soul. And again, the context here is about submission of wives to husbands, which I don't think in our day and age is really, it's kind of a taboo word. I don't think people like the word submission. I don't think, you know, women necessarily like the word submission, not Christian women primarily, but the worldly women, because it sounds like an inferior thing. It sounds like if you're submitting to someone, then you're lower value. And that's not the reality. That's not the truth. Women certainly are not of less value than men, but there are roles. And he goes on to talk about, man, one of the most amazing women that ever lived, right? In scripture, Sarah. And most of you probably know the story of Sarah. Sarah was just an amazing woman. She went through a lot of hard things. You know, she was barren for, what, 90 years? And, you know, just for a while, just kind of wrote it off that she was never going to have a child. And then she did, by God's promise. You know, then there's this whole spiel of Abraham, you know, going to these towns. And, you know, he's real concerned because his wife is pretty. I mean, she's actually externally pretty. And is worried that people are going to want to, like, take her and hurt him. So he says, you know what, just lie, tell him you're my sister. And it happens like twice. And she goes along with it because she's submissive. Not because she's evil. She's trying to, you know, be sneaky or anything. She's actually just trying to submit to her husband. And that's what we find out about her in this passage. If you keep reading, it says in verse 6, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And it says in verse 5, this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. And Sarah is the primary example. That even in those situations where Abraham asked her to do things that were wrong, her primary concern was about submitting to her husband. Her primary concern was about obeying the role that God had given her. And Sarah was a beautiful woman. We know that biblically. She was beautiful externally. But that's not her legacy. Sarah's legacy is not her external beauty. It is her inward beauty. That's her legacy. That's why she's in the faith chapter, even. She's just a wonderful woman and has a wonderful legacy. So I hope this has been encouraging to you. Anything else you'd like to say or add to this?
I think it's important to understand what a gentle and quiet spirit is. I think it's not, once again, this one picture of a quiet woman who's sitting in a corner and not saying anything and not doing anything. You can have a vivacious personality and still be...
vivacious.
Yes. Sticking to it. You can still have a gentle and quiet spirit. It's about a teachable and humble attitude. I think that's what being submissive is, too. So being submissive doesn't have to be a married woman's thing. It's the same heart attitude all the way across the board.
Yeah.
So it's not just a one-size-fits-all thing.
And honestly, I mean, that's even a... I mean, if you wanted to confuse the language there, if you turn into just a quiet, mousy person in public, it's still an external thing. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about an inward, quiet, and gentle spirit. A spirit of submissiveness, a spirit of obedience, a spirit of humility. It really doesn't have anything to do with whether you're an extrovert or introvert, have leadership abilities or not. It has everything to do with your heart aligned to God and focused upon God. And if you're a wife, focused on submitting to your husband. And if you're not a wife, but you want to be a wife, knowing that and going into marriage with that idea that I want to be the role God has made me to be, which is a quiet spirit, a gentle spirit, a submissive woman and wife to my husband, so that he can do what he's been called to do, and that I will please the Lord with my life and my soul. And if people see me as beautiful on the outward, okay, that's nothing wrong with that, but that's not the point, and that's not how we should live, and that's not what we should focus on. Because again, I mean, logically, it's just not a good investment plan. To work on your external beauty is really poor time and money management, because it's really not going to go well. You're just going to put all this time and money into it, and time is eventually going to win. But if you put all of your energy into your inward beauty, your inward soul, all it will do is increase in beauty, and it will last for all of eternity. So I think there's just a wonderful lesson for anyone who's listening here, that we need to be very concerned with how we are simply viewed by God. If we're viewed by God as a beautiful woman and man, that's what matters. And if the world doesn't pat us on the back and doesn't recognize outward beauty in us, does it matter? Does it matter if you have God's approval? So I hope that's been encouraging to you. Thanks for your input, Janine. And
you're welcome.
Vivacious. I'm just going to think on that word a lot tonight. Anyways, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.